First of all, the simple question. We'll start out with the easy ones. I like easy questions. I never like hard ones. So we're going to start out with the easiest of all questions that I could ask. What place should I call home? Simple, isn't it? What place should I call home? Or, put another way, what's your address? Now, that's a simple question. All of you are familiar with quiz shows on television. They may not be popular, but anyway, most of us have seen some. And the announcer introduces the contestant, and he tells their name to the audience, and he may then turn, usually he does, and the camera focuses it on them, you know, and he says, "Well, where do you come from?" That's a simple question. That's probably the simplest quiz question they're going to get in the whole program. And yet, sometimes the contestant becomes so nervous that they just stand there and they can't even tell them where they live. Well, I know that wouldn't be your case. But have you ever thought of how many times you're asked this question? What place do you call home? Every time there's a form filled out, I don't care what it is, it has on there requests for your address. Every time you write a check, the clerk might ask you, is this the correct address? Really, hardly a day passes that you're not forced to consider this question, what place do I call home? And all of us have some place we call home. That is, I guess, all of us. I had to take you back because I remember that day that I took Barry down to take pictures of Skid Row in the story again behind the liquor billboard. I went up to the window at Star Hope Mission. It's been on television here recently because of the cold weather, and the people on the street come in who are the drinkers to spend the warm night, and so they all have to sign in. I just don't say, well, there's the room, folks, go to bed. Everybody is assigned a bed. Everybody's name must go on a piece of paper. A form is filled out. And the guy in front of me, now I wasn't asking for a place to stay that night. I just wanted to get an interview with the manager, so I had to go to the information window. So I was standing behind this guy seeking his number and his bed for the night, and the man in the room said, and what is your address? Where is your hometown? Where do you live? And the man gave the town and the name of the city jail. And I thought that was strange, that that man called home the jail in that little old town. That's where he was best known. That's where he had spent most of the time of his life. And that was the address that he gave. No matter what part of the country he went in to stay at night at a rescue mission, he'd give the city jail. And when I talked to the manager of the Star Hope Mission, I said, is that a common practice? He said, there are a lot of men like that. The only address, the only home they mention is the city jail. I thought that was sad. But for most people, telling you where their home is a simple question. Even probably the most nervous could handle that question without just a few stutters. And yet for the Christian, it's not as simple a question as you might imagine. All of us are familiar with the comment, I have a home away from home. It's an expression usually said by travelers or by students away in college dormitories. Or apartments, maybe by truckers who have certain stops they make, and they say, this is my home away from home. It may be a favorite hotel, it may be a school dormitory, it may be a friend's house, it may be a relative's house, it may be a weekend cabin. It's a home away from home. And yet there are many Christians who do not travel, and who do not live in a dorm and never will. And do not stay with a friend or a relative, and who do not take weekend trips to cabins they do not have. Yet if one is a Christian, still, if they don't have any other place to live but the home in which they dwell, they have no home away from home anywhere, For a Christian to still answer this question, where is your home, it's not simple for a Christian. For you see, according to Scripture, a Christian has three homes. I know immediately, but I can think of two, but what's the third one? All of us have three homes as Christians. Now, the non-Christian really only has one home, and it's very temporary. You know, it's very temporary. If in the cold season a fire strikes and burns it up, he's lost his only home. We have two more. Think about it, we have two more. I've already said what the first home is. It's the place of our birth, you might say. You know, one of the common titles given to Jesus was Jesus of Nazareth. Well, that tells you where he lived, didn't it? Where is the home of Jesus? Oh, it's in Nazareth. Yet for a while, during the beginning of his life, he lived in a house in Bethlehem. And then it wasn't long after that that Joseph and Mary took a trip to Egypt and they lived in a home in Egypt. When you ask Jesus, where is your home? He could say, well, Bethlehem in Egypt. And then they finally moved back to Nazareth. He could say, Bethlehem, Egypt, and Nazareth. He had three homes. I was born in Angleton, lived there a few months, I guess. Don't remember that. Spent the rest of my life in Houston. Where's my home? Well, I guess you might say, where could I say? Angleton or Houston? Few of us today live where we were born, if any of us, where we grew up as children. And in our society, people are on the move constantly. So what is your home changes for some folks almost every year. And the dream of a lot of people is to change their address just as quick as they can, financially afford it, move to another city or another town or another street or another part of town, get another house, just get a new home. And so I like to say the word temporary best describes the number one home we have in our mind when somebody asks you, where's your address? You give them a temporary location. It's the address that you and I use when doing business in society. But I want you to believe this morning with me, Christian, that that address which you have on your driver's license is really nothing but a home away from home. That's not your home. That's just a home away from home. It's in a real sense a favorite hotel that is located on a road that leads directly to your real home. Now, I'm not saying it's not a home. I'm just saying it's not the real home. If you can only claim one home as a Christian, that's not it. It's very temporary. And you're just staying there while on a journey to your real home. We find this in many verses in the Bible. 1 Peter 1:17. There have been a number of songs written about it, like, the world is not my home, I'm just passing through. But look at 1 Peter 1:17. Verse 16 says, be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who shows no respect to persons and judgeth according to every man's work, past the time of your sojourning. In other words, we're on the journey. Past the time of your journey in fear or in respect of God. While on the road to home, while on the journey home, be holy. That's what the Father desires. So Peter says we're on a journey. On a journey. We're travelers staying in a motel. And the address in your pocketbook or purse is the motel address. That's what you call your home away from home. Look at 1 Peter 2:11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers. You know, you're not a stranger in your own community, but Christians are strangers. Why? Because we're travelers. That's all you ever meet when you travel is strangers. And he says, we are strangers and we are pilgrims. We're on a pilgrimage. We're on a journey. Dearly beloved, as strangers passing through strange country and pilgrims on your way to home, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, or which make traveling very difficult. I'm just paraphrasing that for you. Look at Hebrews 11:13. Back up a few pages. He says here, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afore off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they, now notice, they were just strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And that's all we are. A lot of us are buying and storing up and hoarding up and counting up and tying down and building up as though we're going to be here a long time. You're wrong. You're wrong. We're just occupying a home away from home that's going to go by the wayside. I wouldn't invest too much money in a motel. I wouldn't invest too heavily in it. It's just a temporary stopping place. I'd pay my rent that night and I'd move on. I'd try to live as nice as I could, as nice as I could, but I mean, I'm moving on. I'm not going to stay here. I'm not going to sink everything I've got in the motel, because I won't be there too long. I'm moving on. Now, that's the attitude the Christian ought to have about possessions here in this life and the home which he is living in and he's building and he's buying. It's just a home away from home. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. Verse 6 and 7. Therefore, we are always confident, Paul says, knowing that while we are at home in the body, I might say there are four homes. I didn't use this one. The body's a home, but we live in that in all time anyway. But we are absent from the Lord. When you are at home in the body, when you are here on this earth, you're absent from the real home. That's what he's saying here. Verse 8, but we are confident, I say, and we're willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. In other words, I'd rather be out of my home by the wayside and be at home with Him. I'd rather move out of my dormitory and move into my palace. That's what he's saying. I'd rather leave my home away from home and be at home. If I had a rather, I'd rather leave it. Now, that's the attitude Christians ought to have about the things they have in this life. Don't grasp them too tightly. You know, they're nice, and they're good to have, and we can enjoy them. But when it comes to the rathers, if you can trade your motel for your palace, go on trade. That's what Paul is saying. Now, all these verses point to one simple truth. You and I are pilgrims. And we are travelers. And we may make that final journey today. You stop thinking about that? We may make it today. Linda was talking about a neighbor who's been given 48 hours to live. Brain tumor. Brain cancer. Let me tell you, folks, you and I don't even have somebody to guarantee us 48 hours. I mean, the next stop tonight, the next motel room tonight may be heaven. You and I don't have an I guarantee of 48 hours. We think we've got a guarantee of 75 years in retirement. No way. Everything is temporary, you know? Temporary. And I don't know how we can convince ourselves of this, but we're just living in a home away from home. Don't get too wrapped up in it. Every night, you and I just go to bed in a motel that God's provided along the roadside, and I'm glad of that. It's just a little tent pitched by the roadside. And this next day, tomorrow morning, we're going to get up and we're going to travel one more day down the road towards what? Our real home. And that's heaven. And there's not a thing in the world you're not going to do about it. We're going to make one more day's journey. And today you're one day closer to your home than you were yesterday. That's the way it works. We're moving on. And of course, I've already mentioned the second home. That's the Father's house in heaven. I think if somebody said, where's your home? I believe the Christian, in all honesty, would have to say, if I don't have a home in this earth, then my real home is in heaven. That wouldn't make any sense to unsaved people, so I wouldn't say it. But to the Christian, if you want to ask me, what's your home address? I'd have to say, it's heaven. That's the honest truth. You just have to say, it's heaven. Now, look at John 14, 2 through 3. In my Father's house, now notice he calls it a house, in my Father's home, there are many mansions. And I go in there, I prepare a place for you. There's going to be a home for me. All right? And if I go and prepare the place for you, there won't be any vacancies. I'm coming again, and I'm going to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. All of you are familiar with the 23rd Psalm, one of the most probably famous Psalms in the entire Bible. But one part of that verse says in verse 6, Psalms 23:6. You can say it by heart, you'll find it for I will. Notice what he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Now that's as we travel day by day down the highway to God's home. While we travel, there'll be traveling mercies. You ever heard people say, I pray for traveling mercies? Well, what you're praying for is the goodness and mercy of God on your daily travel. Now the psalmist says, surely as I travel down the road, there will be given me goodness and mercy all the days of my journey, and then at last I'll pull in the driveway and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We're on our way. We're on our way. We've boarded the bus or the car or airplane. We're on our way. And the psalmist is saying, one of these days I'm going to step inside the gate and I'm home. I'm home. And Christian, I believe the older you get, you ought to get homesick for home. And I don't mean where mom and dad raised you, but I mean homesick for heaven. If you're getting further and further away from going to heaven and desiring heaven, there's something wrong in your life. You're walking the wrong direction as a pilgrim. Yeah? You really are. All right? Look at Psalms 27:4. One thing have I desired. Notice this, one. How many of us desire one thing? This is a mature Christian who has finally realized the value of living with God. He says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that one thing I'm going to seek after. What is it? That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Now, there's home. I'm going home. I hope you're going home. This is where all the Christians are supposed to be heading this morning, going home. And it's the only place, really, I think we can call home. Now, I can call the parsonage my home away from home, my motel provided by you. But it's not my home, nor is where you live your home. Well, preacher, you said there was three homes. You mentioned two of them. The temporary one, the tent by the side of the highway, which we're staying in each night of our life here, and the one in heaven, what's the third home? Look at Psalms 122:1. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Notice there, word house again. He's not talking about heaven. He's not talking about your tent by the side of the road. He's talking about the sanctuary. This morning you are in your third home. This is your home. But again, it's a home away from home. But it's a special kind of home. And you normally don't find anybody here in this home but your brothers and sisters. Now that's pretty typical in a home, isn't it? In this home you find, first of all, your father, and that's typical. And in this home you find your brothers and sisters, and that's typical. But that's generally what you find in the house of the Lord by the highway on the road to heaven. It's interesting. This is your home, away from home, but it's a special kind of home. I won't talk about that. Also look at Psalms 84, verse 4. Blessed are they, now it means happy. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house, for they shall have reason to praise thee. Now, I'm going to say something this morning that I really believe with all my heart. If you really don't care much about church, then you don't care much about heaven. Now, that's a hard statement, but I believe it's true. If you don't find any pleasure in stopping out at the house of the Lord here, you're not going to find much pleasure in being dropped off at the house of the Lord over there. If the church home can't be home here, I doubt if heaven can be home there. You know, this is the nearest thing to heaven. This is the nearest sample that you're going to have to what it's going to be like in heaven that the earth provides. You got the same Father right now, the same Holy Spirit right now, and you have the same brothers and sisters right now. The only thing that's going to change is the outside environment. If you don't like worship now, singing now, your brothers and sisters in Christ now, fellowship now, walking with Christ now, pleasing the Father now, I doubt if you're going to ever like it in heaven. Now, I've said that and I believe it. The group that goes to church for the right reason, because they find its home, it's a place of fellowship, it's where my family is, and I like to be with my family, if that's the feeling and the viewpoint and to worship my Father, then I believe that these are the people who have the greatest assurance of heaven in their life. Do you want to be with God's people? What do you think occupies heaven? You say, well, I don't want to be around Christians. Well, why do you want to go to Christians? Why go to heaven, man? That's all you're going to find up there. You know? Where do you want to be around? Oh, I want to be around sinners. Well, I'll tell you where they go. And I don't want to be around them. You know? You reveal a lot about yourself in relationship to your third home. Now, a lot of folks don't want to admit this. Well, I don't think you have to go to church. Hey, you've got to convince to me you want to be part of the family. I believe it. You've got to convince me you want to be part of the family. Yeah. Just saying I believe in God doesn't convince me you want to be a part of the family. All right? Look at Matthew 21:13. I tell you, a lot of folks don't realize it, but you better be more concerned about your third home than your first one. You better be more concerned about this home than the one you occupy beside the road, which is your tourist court. You really will. Because this is the one that God has chosen to get you ready for the one you're going to move into permanently. This is it. Now, Matthew 21:13. There were some folks that were making havoc out of the Lord's third house. And he said, as in verse 12, he drove out the money changers into the street and those that sold doves in the temple. He said, it's written. Now notice he calls it a house. My house my home, this sanctuary, this temple, this church, my house shall be called the house of prayer. People say, well, I want to go to heaven. That means you want to go to his house, right? Well, let me see in his house now. Jesus said, it's my house. And those that want to go to my house there will go to my house here. Simple logic. I'm no mathematician, but I can figure that one out. But again, it's called a house. It's not called a temple. It's called a... He says, my house. My home. My dwelling place. And so it's the third home that the Christian today can really, in a sense, call home. Although I have to say it's a home away from home. First of all, we all speak the language of home, don't we? In church, we don't talk about what you talk about tomorrow at work. We have a special language all our own. When you go home today with dinner with your family and your children, you don't talk the same way you do at work tomorrow. It's family talk. Talk about each other. There's a difference between your home life and your work life. There's a special language you have around your house. It's called family language. You call them hon, husband, wife, children, son, daughter. It's a different kind of language. And so there is a special language for God's people. You don't sing about Jesus tomorrow at 9 o'clock at work. We have special language. We sing a lot of our language. You might say this is headquarters. Just like your home is headquarters for the family, this is headquarters for the family. Now, I'm not saying you can't have private devotions at your home. That's fine. You can get in your bedroom and eat your ice cream by yourself where everybody else doesn't have to eat if you want to. But I'm saying this is a family situation in the church. This is the headquarters where the family meets. Now, in that connection, I want to share some things with you. Those who travel know that you have to, once in a while, stop at the gas station. Just one of those things. And at that gas station, you oftentimes gain some information. And that's what the church is for. That's what this home is for. We give guidance. We have some maps to hand out. We have some information. And we keep giving you some more power through the Holy Spirit, through preaching, through Bible reading, through singing. We give you some more power in the tank to take you on down the road the next week. And Peter the Christian that tries to run a tank dry after 7 years of traveling and never pulls into the filling station. All right? So you get not only information, and you not only get some refilling of power, but sometimes you get some correction. Sometimes you have to be told, hey, fella, you've been driving the wrong road, going the wrong direction. Or you need to be told you've got a flat coming on. And so the family is the best place to dish out the correction, and that's what we're here for. I pity the child that the parent never corrects. They don't love him. So the church becomes the family. We dispense information, we dispense the refueling of power, and we dispense correction. The church is also the roadside restaurant. It's where you come to get refreshed. It's where you come to pick up some souvenirs. The offering plate, there's some souvenirs you just picked up this morning. Little treasures you're going to carry on down the road all the way into heaven with you. That's what Jesus said. Lay up your treasures in heaven. In a sense, the church is called the treasure house. You pick up a few souvenirs along the way. All right? So, it's also a roadside rest stop. You get tired driving cars, and you need to stop and just get out, walk around, and get a little rest. The Christians have a week-long time when they need some rest. Been driving hard all the week, so you need to pull in to the rest stop. If you've been bothered by sorrow, you ought to find some comfort. Where else can you find comfort, hopefully, than at home? They understand you there. They have no axe to grind there. No strings to pull there. Nobody impress. I mean, you're just family. And so if you have sorrow, you ought to find comfort. This is the best place. It's probably the only place you ought to be able to find comfort, Christians. Then if you're facing some kind of danger, you ought to be able to find some protection. I'm going to talk tonight about protection, armor of God. If you have any doubts, you ought to be able to find some hope. If you're having despair, you ought to be able to find some comfort. If you're facing some kind of trouble, you ought to be able to find some help, you know. I think about Willard and Joy. I saw him Friday. I mean, they're facing trouble. Where else can you find help but the family of God? So pull in. Pull in. If you're feeling lonely, it's a place to find fellowship. If you're feeling tired, it's a place to find rest. Pull in. I look at all the empty pews. Folks aren't pulling in. It makes you wonder, are they even on the road? Yeah. How far can you go down the road and you never pull in? You never get more power. I don't know. I don't understand it. This is the Lord's home, away from home. You're supposed to pull in. Jesus pulled in. Every week, Jesus pulled in. So where do you get that, preacher? Look at Luke 4:16. I mean, if he had to pull into the home away from home, why don't we have to pull in? Look what it says. And Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, home number one. And as his custom was, I'm going to say as his need was, he pulled in. Now, it doesn't say that, but he pulled in to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Pulled in. If he'd been driving, he pulled his automobile in, parked out in the parking lot, and come in. And notice, it was his custom. Why? It was a home away from home. Where else would you expect to find him? You know? It's where the family of God was gathering. Anybody wanting to gather with the family of God, anybody wanting to go to heaven, that's exactly what you're wanting to do, is gather with the family of God. Why won't you gather with them when they gather together? Pull in. Because while we're away from our real true home, this is the nearest thing to home you've got. It sure ought to be a lot closer to his home than the home you live in, because you got all the brothers and sisters in it. You just got a few of them in your home. But here you got a lot more of them. And so we as Christians should never make the church unappealing, make the church unattractive, and make the church unproductive. I mean, if folks pull in, we ought to be able to give them encouragement and directions and corrections and hope and rest as we send them out tomorrow back on the road again. I hope today, as you pulled in, you get something. You know, I hope you're revved up and you're ready to go, because tomorrow's another day. We're going on down the road. But I'm glad you pulled in. But regarding the question, simple question, where is your home? I think in all honesty, Christian, it's not here. It's over there. We're already a resident. Our name is already enrolled in the Citizens Book of Life. It's already on the city registry. It's already there. That's our real home. But you got two other homes away from home. You got the one you're going to go to in a few minutes, and you've got this one right here. I hope you pull in, because your brothers and sisters are all here. And we hope you pull in, for your sake and for our sake. Because the comfort that we look for in the rest may be coming from you instead of me. Think about that? Somebody out there may have gotten their supercharged octane this morning from you, not from me. They may have gotten their encouragement and their comfort and their blessing and their fellowship from you, not from me. If you weren't here, they wouldn't have got it, you know. None of that self-service stuff in this church. You know. We all serve each other. If you don't do that, you don't have a good stopping station. You know. It's not help yourself, it's help each other. That's the story of the church as the home. This is a home away from home. And I hope it's one you enjoy being in. Father, we're thankful this morning for the home away from home that we daily live in. We're thankful for this home away from home and wish more people would just pull in. But yet when they pull in, we do pray that each of us will be an attendant, ready to help and to serve and to be a part of the family that encourages them as they strike out tomorrow towards the home we really call home. In Jesus' name, amen.